All the boys are organized into armies. Day after day, in zero gravity, there are mock battles. Nobody gets hurt, but winning and losing matter. Everybody starts as a common soldier, taking orders. Older boys are your officers, and it's their duty to train you and command you in battle. More than that, I can't tell you. It's like playing buggers and astronauts, except that you have weapons that work, and fellow soldiers fighting beside you, and your whole future and the future of the human race depends on how well you learn, how well you fight. It's a hard life, and you won't have a normal childhood. Of course, with your mind, and as a third to boot, you wouldn't have a particularly normal childhood anyway.
All boys?
A few girls. They don't often pass the tests to get in. Too many centuries of evolution are working against them. None of them will be like Valentine, anyway. But there will be brothers there, Ender.
Like Peter?
Peter wasn't accepted, Ender, for the very reasons that you hate him.
I don't hate him, I'm just...
afraid of him. Well, Peter isn't all bad, you know. He was the best we'd seen in a long time. We asked your parents to choose a daughter next. They would have anyway. Hoping that Valentine would be Peter, but milder. She was too mild, and so we requisitioned you.
To be half Peter and half Valentine,
if things worked out right.
Am I?
As far as we can tell. Our tests are very good, Ender, but they don't tell us everything. In fact, when it comes down to it, they hardly tell us anything. But they're better than nothing. Graf leaned over and took Ender's hands in his. Ender Wigan, if it were just a matter of choosing the best and happiest future for you, I'd tell you to stay home. Stay here. Grow up. Be happy. There are worse things than being a third, worse things than a big brother who can't make up his mind whether to be a human being or a jackal. Battle school is one of those worst things, but we need you. The buggers may seem like a game to you now, Ender, but they damn near wiped us out last time. They had us cold, outnumbered and outweaponed. The only thing that saved us was that we had the most brilliant military commander we ever found. Call it fate, call it God, call it damn fool luck. We had Mazer Rackham. But we don't have him now, Ender. We've scraped together everything mankind could produce. A fleet that makes the one they sent against us last time seem like a bunch of kids playing in a swimming pool. We have some new weapons, too. But it might not be enough, even so. Because in the 80 years since the last war, they've had as much time to prepare as we have. We need the best we can get, and we need them fast. Maybe you're not going to work out for us, and maybe you are. Maybe you'll break down under the pressure. Maybe it'll ruin your life. Maybe you'll hate me for coming here to your house today. But if there's a chance that because you're with the fleet, mankind might survive and the buggers might leave us alone forever, then I'm going to ask you to do it, to come with me. Ender had trouble focusing on Colonel Graf. The man looked far away and very small, as if Ender could pick him up with tweezers and drop him in a pocket. To leave everything here and to go to a place that was very hard, with no Valentine, no Mom and Dad. And then he thought of the films of the buggers that everyone had to see at least once a year. The Scathing of China, the Battle of the Belt, death and suffering and terror. And Mazer Rackham and his brilliant maneuvers, destroying an enemy fleet twice his size and twice his firepower, using the little human ships that seemed so frail and weak, like children fighting with grown-ups. And we won.
I'm afraid, said Ender quietly, but I'll go with you.
Tell me again, said Graf.
It's what I was born for, isn't it? If I don't go, why am I alive?
Not good enough, said Graf.
I don't want to go, said Ender, but I will.
Graf nodded. You can change your mind. Up until the time you get in my car with me, you can change your mind. After that, you stay at the pleasure of the international fleet. Do you understand that? Ender nodded. All right. Let's tell them. Mother cried. Father held Ender tight. Peter shook his hand and said, You lucky little pin-headed fart-eater. Valentine kissed him and left her tears on his cheek. There was nothing to pack, no belongings to take.
school provides everything you need, from uniforms to school supplies, and as for toys, well, there's only one game. Goodbye, Ender said to his family. He reached up and took Colonel Graff's hand and walked out the door with him.
Kill some buggers for me, Peter shouted. I love you, Andrew, Mother called. We'll write you, Father said.
And as he got into the car that waited silently in the corridor, he heard Valentine's anguished cry. Come back to me. I love you forever.
With Ender, we have to strike a delicate balance. Isolate him enough that he remains creative. Otherwise, he'll adopt the system here and we'll lose him. At the same time, we need to make sure he keeps a strong ability to lead.
If he earns rank, he'll lead.
It isn't that simple. Mazer Rackham could handle his little fleet and win. By the time this war happens, there'll be too much, even for a genius. Too many little boats. He has to work smoothly with his subordinates.
Oh, good. He has to be a genius and nice, too.
Not nice. Nice will let the buggers have us all.
So you're going to isolate him?
I'll have him completely separated from the rest of the boys by the time we get to the school.
Well, I have no doubt of it. I'll be waiting for you to get here. I watched the vids of what he did to the Stilson boy. This is not a sweet little kid you're bringing up here.
That's where you're mistaken. He's even sweeter than he looks. But don't worry. We'll purge that in a hurry.
Sometimes I think you enjoy breaking these little geniuses.
There is an art to it. And I'm very, very good at it. But enjoy? Yeah. Well, maybe. When they put back the pieces afterward, it makes them better.
Oh, you are a monster.
Thanks. Does this mean I get a raise?
Yeah, just a medal. The budget isn't inexhaustible.
They say that weightlessness can cause disorientation, especially in children whose sense of direction isn't yet secure. But Ender was disoriented before he left Earth's gravity, before the shuttle launch even began. There were 19 other boys in his launch. They filed out of the bus and into the elevator. They talked and joked and bragged and laughed. Ender kept his silence. He noticed how Graff and the other officers were watching them, analyzing. Everything we do means something, Ender realized. Them laughing, me not laughing. He toyed with the idea of trying to be like the other boys, but he couldn't think of any jokes, and none of theirs seemed funny. Wherever their laughter came from, Ender couldn't find such a place in himself. He was afraid, and fear made him serious. They had dressed him in a uniform, all in a single piece. It felt funny not to have a belt cinched around his waist. He felt baggy and naked, dressed like that. There were TV cameras going, perched like animals on the shoulders of crouching, prowling men. The men moved slowly, cat-like, so the camera motion would be smooth. Ender caught himself moving smoothly, too. He imagined himself being on TV in an interview, the announcer asking him, "How do you feel, Mr. Wiggin?" "Actually quite well, except hungry." "Hungry? Oh, yes, they don't let you eat for 20 hours before the launch. How interesting, I never knew that. All of us are quite hungry, actually." And all the while during the interview, Ender and the TV guy would slink along smoothly in front of the cameraman, taking long, lithe strides. The TV guy was letting him be the spokesman for all the boys, though Ender was barely competent to speak for himself. For the first time, Ender felt like laughing. He smiled. The other boys near him were laughing at the moment, too, for another reason. "They think I'm smiling at their joke," thought Ender, "but I'm smiling at something much funnier." "Go up the ladder one at a time," said an officer. "When you come to an aisle with empty seats, take one. There aren't any window seats." It was a joke. The other boys laughed. Ender was near the last, but not the very last. The TV cameras did not give up, though. "Will Valentine see me disappear into the shuttle?" He thought of waving at her, of running to the cameraman and saying, "Can I tell Valentine goodbye?" He didn't know that it would be censored out of the tape if he did, for the boys soaring out to battle school were all supposed to be heroes. They weren't supposed to miss anybody. Ender didn't know about the censorship, but he did know that running to the cameras would be wrong. He walked the short bridge to the door in the shuttle. He noticed that the wall to his right was carpeted like a floor. That was where the disorientation began. The moment he thought of the wall as a floor, he began to feel like he was walking on a wall. He got to the ladder and noticed that the vertical surface behind it was also carpeted. I am climbing up the floor, hand over hand, step by step. And then, for fun, he pretended that he was climbing down the wall.